Hey, gang, I want to tell you about True Hemp Science Full Spectrum CBD products. They are fantastic. I've been using them now for a couple of months. I've used their balms. I've used their oils to sleep. And today, I'll be talking about a whole new product. Now, listen, True Hemp Science promises you premium quality, pure ingredients, and true value. They source the highest grade organic hemp from around the world to handcraft the finest full spectrum CBD products. They offer a complete line of CBD products, including full spectrum CBD oils, tinctures, CBD skincare lotions, CBD sports rubs, CBD gummies, and CBD gluten-free chocolates. They number their CBD products to differentiate them by strain, by farm, and by extraction method. Now, last week I was telling you about the number 81, which is great for relaxation and sleep. But today I'm going to be talking to you about number G41. That's full spectrum CBG plus CBDA plus terpenes. Now, this has given me some focus. It has some CBD in it, but it doesn't make you sleepy or tired or foggy in any way. The CBG kind of gives you some focus and it energizes your brain while keeping you calm and cool. You know what I'm saying? People report it relaxes their brain and does not affect cognitive performance. While it is calming, it is less physically so than CBD. It's great for working. It's great for getting your work done. I'm even using it right now. So, gang, how did I get here as partnered with True Hemp Science Full Spectrum CBD products? And if you use the code HDIGH, you will get something special. Purchase $65 worth of regular price products and receive 296 milligrams of number 81 distillate. That's the one I was telling you about. That's great for rest, relaxation, and sleep. Just go to truehempscience.com/HDIGH. For how did I get here? And you can also visit them at their brick and mortar store. That's right. They have a physical location right here in Austin at 505 West Mary Street, Unit C, Austin, Texas. Don't forget, use the code HDIGH. If you're already using CBD products, switch over to this one. I promise it's going to be great. You're going to love it. All these products are great. And the CBG, CBDA is unbelievable. Like I'm telling you, I feel very clear. I feel very focused. I haven't been drinking a bunch of coffee all day, and I'm not all anxious from coffee. You know what I'm saying? TrueHempScience.com, HDIGH. You're not only getting yourself some CBD, but you're helping us out here, right? By using the code HDIGH. TrueHempScience.com. Go get your full spectrum CBD products today. Let's get down.
How did I get here? And now here is your host, Tom Howdy.
All right. Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a good week. Your week was very good. I heard from some of you. Yes, you were right. I did not put out a show on Tuesday. I'm sorry about that. I was dealing with some personal stuff, but then also I was having technical issues. And the technical issues got to be where I was going to have to spend too much time on them. I decided to deal with the personal stuff and just put out one show this week. But don't worry, I will be putting out three shows next week. Anyway, my week is going good. I had a lot of stuff to deal with on Monday and Tuesday, and now things are a little bit more laid back. I am dealing with some leash aggression issues with my dog Rosie. That's been kind of a pain in the ass, but I've learned how to do it from the Humane Society website. Let me tell you something. If your dog's having some, this isn't an ad at all, but if your dog is having some kind of like, behavioral issue or anything, they do a great job of, describing, they describe exactly what your dog's deal is. My dog has, leash aggression. It's called something else. They call it something else, not aggression. They use a nicer word, a more PC word. There's a couple different reasons, and I realized, oh, her reason isn't fear. It's anxiety of wanting to do more stuff than she can because she's leashed up. And, anyway, so I've been working on that. It's true, man. We do this stuff. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking to myself, man, if I had a child with like behavioral issues, I'd be insane, you know? Anyway, Rosie's a great dog. She's just been lashing out at stuff when she's on a leash for the last couple weeks. It's very weird. Came out of nowhere, and now it's happening. But we've had some good walks, and I think we're on the mend. Gang, I have a great big show for you today. I don't have time to mess around. I have singer-songwriter Ryan Colwell. He was a guy that lived in Nashville for like a decade, but now he just moved back to Texas, and he just put out a brand new album in January, a couple weeks ago, called Run Like a Bull. Great, great record. Fantastic. It was produced and recorded with Nielsen Hubbard, who's done Mary Gaucher, who was on the show last time. He's got a great record out called The Last American. But this record, Run Like a Bull, fantastic songwriting. Fantastic. And it's heavy-ass shit. But he said, that while this record may seem heavy, at its core, it's a deeply optimistic record. And you do get that after a while, man. So Ryan was on tour. He was on his way to go down to this songwriting festival in Key West and play some shows down there, and then he was going to go up to Nashville and play a show. But we had a great conversation. It wasn't very long, because he was in like the parking lot of like a Walmart or something in the middle of nowhere, and we were having some connection issues. But it was good to talk to him, good to meet him. I hope when he comes to Austin, we'll get to sit down and have a great conversation about his whole career and his whole life. And his journey, that's the word I was looking for. Ryan Colwell, I'll be talking to him in just a second. But before I talk to Ryan Colwell, I talk to Austin Music Foundation Artist Development Year 5 participant Natalie Price. Natalie Price is a fantastic singer-songwriter here in town. She's been on the show before. I've been a big fan of hers as an artist and as a person. She's a really, really wonderful person, a great hang, and just a fantastic songwriter. And she recorded two songs with us that are out now on our ATX Gen Next Adventures in Person, available at austinmusicfoundation.bandcamp.com. Natalie Price has two songs, Tell Me and Butterfly. I had the honor of getting to sit down with Natalie and play on a couple of those songs with her, even cut the track Butterfly. It's very exciting for me. I love doing it, and I love Natalie, and we had a great time. So before we talk to Ryan Colwell, fantastic songwriter, let's talk to the great Natalie Price. Let's get down.
Butterfly, shriveled wings, trying to stretch into the spring, clinging to the tree in light, shadows left behind, waiting for the strength to fly.
How are you doing?
Weird. Doing okay.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
We've still got a couple more days we can say it without being weird.
I mean, I think you get the entire month of January, especially if you haven't really seen someone in person or talked to them.
That's true. That's true. Congratulations. Tell me, congratulations on like a pretty crazy year of a lot of stuff. But
thank you.
By the time this comes out, these songs, Tell Me and Butterfly, will be available on Bandcamp. And you did those with the Austin Music Foundation Artist Development Program. They're available on ATX Gen Next Adventures in Person, which is our third album that we have made with Frenchie Smith and Einar. And I was there, and I actually got to play on yours.
You were there.
I was there drinking your tea.
Yes, I brought tea from Ireland, Barry's.
Now you
brought some Barry's tea.
Did you fly? You flew into like Dallas the night before, and you got in really late, and then you came to Austin, and that's we just hit the ground running. Your mom was with you.
That was a really kind of crazy. I had decided to go to Ireland to help a friend, sort of temporarily be there, like visit her family for an extended time. And then I was like, well, how about I just like stay a little bit longer? And the way that the flights worked, I don't ever fly around Thanksgiving, but apparently if you want to go anywhere Thanksgiving weekend, be prepared to pay four times the price you would normally pay.
Oh, geez.
And so I switching my flights around was the worst thing ever. But I was able to do it without paying extra money if I switched it to a different day. And that happened to be I couldn't even get to Austin. I could only get to Dallas. And so I was like, hey, mom, do you want to, would you mind driving me to Austin? I was like, you can come to the studio. It'll be fun.
Well, and I remember, I got to say, for somebody that had just done all of that traveling and coming in and like, really like, I mean, you came in and it wasn't like we sat around like shooting the shit for an hour. It's like you just jumped right in.
Well, yeah, I was like, you know, while I'm awake, let's do this.
But there was no, it didn't affect your performance, your mood. You were fun to hang out with. That was a really fun
I was definitely
day.
A little, what's, you know how if you're hungry and you can get hangry? I don't know what the tired version of that is, but I was a little like, I was struggling that first day. And I felt like internally my patience was short. And there were a couple of things that were frustrating that I couldn't like communicate well in the moment, which I just attribute to being tired. But I'm really glad y'all didn't feel that.
No.
I was really afraid that it would like dampen the studio time.
No,
so I was
not
trying
at all.
Really hard.
I mean, I did notice that you had that, but I thought, oh, this is like when Natalie gets to work, she doesn't fuck around. Sorry for cussing so much. Oh,
that was just me. No, you're fine. That was just me trying to like just be there and be fully in and make it work. Cause like, yeah, it was fun. I was really glad I got to do it. And, I haven't ever done a studio time in that way where I have never met the producer beforehand. And I walk in essentially green into a studio I've never even set foot in with a team of people, you, Einar and Frenchie and Brendan that I knew you and Einar, but like, the four of us, I'd never been in the same room with all four of you. Normally, I like vet people in my own way. You know, like we hang, we're like, are they cool? So it was it. And then I was like, decided to bring my mom. I realized later, like, that was pretty bold. Like, but it was cool. Everything was cool. My mom was cool. She's very sweet. And it was a good experience. And I think it was really great for her to see kind of what goes on behind the scenes and how much work is involved in the studio. It's not just playing around, although there, you got to be able to play to make something good, but.
Well, what it is having fun while you're doing that work. You know what
right.
I'm saying? So it does seem a bit effortless, but there was, I mean, we had to make decisions real fast. You had to make decisions real fast. And I know like with very little sleep, like, we came in and chose songs really fast. I mean, it was all pretty like, before we knew it, there you were like playing guitar.
Yep.
And singing.
Yeah. Yeah. I was grateful my voice held out. Like there was no telling, you know, and yeah. I didn't get COVID in my travels. I tried so hard to be careful on the flights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, these songs turned out beautifully, and they got to be Song of the Day on KUTX. Now, also in 2021, you actually recorded an entire new album out in Nashville with Mary Bragg.
True.
What's going on with that?
Well, I just got final masters back last week, maybe 2 weeks ago. So I have the digital files ready, like to move forward, to go. Now I'm only held back by the album design and getting all the graphics together. I have a photo shoot next week. So I'm only held back by the visuals at this point. And, you know,
do you know what you're
actually putting into motion the release?
Right. Do you know what you're going to do with the visuals?
Well, I'm going to hopefully work with a graphic designer, although I've been having trouble finding one. I may end up doing it myself, which sounds a little bit horrible to me, but not impossible. and I will put it in physical form for my Kickstarter people. I'm doing a CD at least. I would love to do vinyl. We'll see where I am financially. And then, I'd love to release in May, but it's looking like it might be pushed a little further. I'm meeting with some PR folks next month.
Yeah.
Well, it's only a couple weeks away.
Wow. So yeah, this is exciting. I've actually heard the record. It's really, really, really great. Like
Thanks.
You kicked up your thing a couple of notches. And that was before you came into the studio with Frenchie out at the bubble and stuff. But like when you came into the studio at the bubble, the vibe that I got from you, there was always sort of a timidness that some people have when they're not sure if they're supposed to be in the room. Right.
Oh.
So when I first met you, I would feel that a bit from you as somebody that, you know, recognizes that in people. The Natalie Price that came into the bubble, even though you were tired, and so you were, you knew where you were and you belonged there. And I thought that was a beautiful thing to see. And someone that you like, you know, someone that you care about and you want, like I've wanted you to do well since I've met you. I've wanted that.
That, yeah. It was like the sweetest thing. Thank you so much. That's amazing. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that. It's a huge compliment, I would say.
Yeah. And plus we got my funnest music moment in the thing was us doing the track together.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
On the guitar. That was Butterfly.
Was it Butterfly?
Uh-huh.
That was really, really fun.
Yeah.
And it was, I think, maybe a tad stressful internally in the moment because I was like, oh, okay, we're tracking and I'm playing. Okay, we're in. We're doing this. Here we go. But it was also fun.
Yeah. And it's funny. We were the bed of that song.
So yeah.
That's pretty neato.
And that, I think that was the one too. Yeah, it was Butterfly where eventually on the later in the process, I don't know if you were there at the moment that it was happening, but as I had been listening to the rough mixes, I was like, man, I hear this other part.
I was there for that. Yeah. The little
and
melody.
I got to add it in on Mellotron. Yeah. It was so cool. I'd never played Mellotron before. And I heard a part and I got to add the part and it's just a little tiny ear candy, but it made me really happy to put it in there.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to see, you feeling so empowered and comfortable in that empowerment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really like appreciate all of y'all in the studio too. Making sure that I played instruments on the songs and cause I'm comfortable taking a back seat when it comes to playing an instrument, when we're on studio time that we're paying for, because I know a session player is going to nail it in three takes and me, it will take me a little longer to get something down, but I'm fine just contributing vocals, often too. It was fun though to add and actually play and take more ownership of the song too in that way.
Do you think that you'll carry that on to like your next album?
Possibly. I played a couple of songs in Nashville and that was Mary and John were very encouraging and they were like, no, why don't you play acoustic guitar on this one? And I did play the kalimba on the island. Because no one else knows the song. Like, I haven't met a session player yet who's like, yeah, I'm great at kalimba.
You know, that could be your thing.
What do you mean?
That could to be a session thing. Player? Like, someone would be like, man, we need kalimba on this. Like, oh, you know Natalie Price? She rocks the kalimba.
I mean, that'd be an interesting thing.
Is there a name for that album, or is that just a...
The album that's coming out?
Yeah.
I decided to self-title. It's my first full length. So I decided to go with just Natalie Price.
Natalie Price, debut full length album.
You're hearing it here first, folks.
Hearing it here first. People can find you at natpricemusic.com. Tell me for a minute a little bit about this Patreon. What do you do on your Patreon that you don't do in life? Because you do a lot of stuff in life.
Right. On Patreon, I'm mostly giving background behind songs. My goal is to give patrons the first look, first listen, first hearing of inside information as much as possible. So I'll let people also hear like voice memos of songs that I've been working on. And I really love telling the stories behind songs. So I'll do a whole series for this album coming up, stories behind all the songs. I'll be sharing photos and footage from the studio. Recently, I just shared about the song Tell Me that I did with you in the studio. Mm-hmm. I did one post where I shared the voice memo and just told a little bit about the song and how it came about. And then I did another post later with footage from the studio and the studio version of the song before even it had been heard on radio.
Right.
So people could hear the difference between, I think that stuff is interesting. I like hearing the before and after.
Yeah.
So it's more like patrons will get inside information that I'm not necessarily sharing everywhere else. And even if I am sharing it everywhere else, they're going to hopefully hear it first. Patrons will hear it first. So that's what I like to do with Patreon.
Okay. And people can find all that stuff through natpricemusic.com, right? And your Linktree as well.
Yeah. And pretty much everything everywhere is Nat Price Music, even Patreon. It's like / Nat Price Music.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been a great...
Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just been a great ride learning how to do Patreon and learning how to invite people into your process and what you're doing. And that's what I'm trying to do there.
That's great. You also have a talk show that you started in 2020 called 20 at 10.
That's true. That has happened since you and I chatted on this podcast. Thank you, pandemic, to make me pivot word of the 2 years and do something else. And so that's been my attempt to keep myself active and creative and invested in the community and also like developing community, but where I can and connecting with other creatives and keeping myself inspired, keeping myself accountable. That's what this show's been.
Yeah. That's what these shows do. And they're good. You know, yeah, you do a great job. Plus you got Dana Cooper. That's really exciting. How often
Dana
are you
Cooper's
doing that
guest.
Show?
Right now, once a week.
Okay.
If I have, since it's on Monday nights, if I have a European guest that wants to be on it, then I will add in a show on like a Saturday morning at 10 my time.
Okay.
It's like 4 or 5 or 6 p.m. for them.
All right. Anything else you want to say? Did you have a good time in the artist development program?
I've had a really great time.
Good.
I wasn't really sure what to expect. I know that it's changed and shifted since pre-pandemic times.
Right.
And I think that I've only met a couple of the other artists in person, and it was at
that
like
BMI
a BMI
thing.
Event.
Yeah,
the BMI mixer right before ACL.
Yeah.
And so, and I was really glad to meet them in person, but like that's one thing that I miss from pandemic times.
Yeah.
But like just the fact that we're all on Zooms and we can kind of see each other and like ask questions, and it's been cool to be a part of the program, and I've been grateful and honored to be a part of it. And I don't know, I think it's
I'm
a really
you were able to do it.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I think it's a cool thing that y'all are doing, and especially like I realized going into the studio, like there was complications with scheduling and like making it all happen, and like it was a nightmare. And then even post, I think we were trying to do videos or something, and then everybody got COVID.
Yeah.
It's just like just even with all the complications and it being, you know, difficult to work things out in some ways, like I am still really grateful to be a part of it. And I realized like there are two songs that are going to exist in the world that are fully produced because of Awesome Music Foundation and the Artist Development Program. And that's really cool. And that's a collaborative effort between me and other folks in Austin, you, Anar, and Frenchie and Brendan. So that's really cool. And that's something that wouldn't have happened this year, and definitely not, even if it did happen, it wouldn't have happened in the same way.
Right, right.
Had I not been in the program. So I think it's been great.
Well, good. I'm real proud of you. I made that clear early on in the thing. Everyone can find you at natpricemusic.com. Check out these gorgeous songs, Tell Me and Butterfly, available on ATX. Next Gen Adventures in Person, which will be available on vinyl at some point later on in a few months, and then we'll do a big show. One last thing before we go. I know we've been talking for a long time, but I do want to... I want to ask you, when you play live, like when you play the show for the release of this ATX Gen Next album, what kind of setup are you doing?
Oh, that's a great question that I don't have an answer to yet. I know I can get up and play them by myself on guitar, but I would love to bring some extra energy. So that's what I'll be trying to figure out. Probably talking to you about, actually, offline.
Okay. Well, we'll figure all that stuff out soon, and I'm looking forward to seeing whatever it is that you do.
Sweet. I'm looking forward to it also.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
It's Natalie Price. Her songs Tell Me and Butterfly are available on ATX Gen Next Adventures in Person, the Austin Music Foundation's Artist Development Year 5 album, which will be coming out on vinyl later on this year. You can find it at austinmusicfoundation.bandcamp.com. That's austinmusicfoundation.bandcamp.com. You can find Natalie Price at natpricemusic.com. She's got a Patreon. She's got a great show that she does on once a week, an interview show on Instagram called 20 at 10. Great show. You can find her at natpricemusic.com. Go there, get involved with everything she does, and check out all the other artists: Quentin in the Past Lives, Anastasia Hera and the Heroes, Pleasure Venom, and TV Temple, all on Austin Music Foundation's ATX Gen Next Adventures in Person, available at austinmusicfoundation.bandcamp.com. All right, so now let's talk to Ryan Culwell, who was in this car in the middle of nowhere, maybe in a Walmart parking lot, talking to me about his latest album, Run Like a Bull, moving from Nashville back to Texas, and the reasons why he did that, and what he was going to go do in Key West. All right, so here it is, me and Ryan Culwell chatting it up. Let's get down.
Late at night, I lay in bed and run the roads inside my head, trying to return to where I'm from. Lying on my crooked back, I look back on my crooked path. Winding my way back now just seems dumb. I get blue like Colorado. I'm down.
I think I'm in St. Pete or Tampa.
Oh.
I'm headed down to Key West.
Oh, you're heading. What are you heading down for? Like a songwriter retreat thing?
There's that Mile Zero Festival. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, my friend Kelly, I think, is playing there. Kelly Mickwee, you know her?
It should be. I don't. Oh. It should be fun, though.
Yeah. I saw that the guy that did your record, this guy, Nielsen Hubbard, He did Mary Gauthier's record, and I'm actually interviewing her on Thursday.
Oh yeah, she's great. She's fantastic.
Do you ever write with her?
No, I don't. I mainly write by myself. I haven't really pursued that. Maybe I should. I don't know.
Maybe
she's fantastic though. I've met her a few times.
I saw that you just moved from Nashville back to Texas.
Yeah, we did it.
Yeah. What part of Texas?
Happening. The Panhandle, which is the part that sticks way up.
Yeah.
But apparently everybody thinks Panhandle means by the water. And then well, we're like 12 hours from the water.
Oh, yeah.
I just think that because of Florida.
So you drove from the Panhandle?
We're not in the news as much as Florida.
Right, of course. Yeah. I have a comedian friend that refers
to... Yeah, I had some...
Go ahead.
Oh, I had some shows through Texas and got down into Houston and then Mississippi. I had a show, so it's just head across, and then I'm going up to Nashville.
Oh, nice.
So it's on the way.
Yeah. Congratulations on this record, man. This will be coming out after it comes out. The record's amazing, man. What a gorgeous record.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we tried our best.
Yeah, what a great, you're a great, great songwriter, man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
What record is this for you? Like, in the numbers?
It's hard to say. Everybody's calling it my third record, and really it's like my four and a half. Or if you knew me before, I don't know, it could be even five and a half. I put out a collection of demos, like in 2002 or something. I say put it out. It's just everybody I knew had it, but it wasn't available online or anything. Then I put a record out in 2004, with a bunch of friends of mine, which is really good. It just, I needed to learn a lot still, so it's not up anywhere.
Okay.
And then I put an EP out a few years after I moved to Nashville, and that got taken down, and I just didn't put it back up. It got taken down because I didn't pay the distribution company the $12 that year or whatever it was.
Oh, right.
I just didn't bother putting it back up because I didn't want it to jump up like a new record, and I didn't want to deal with it. So.
Right.
It'll go back up someday.
But this record, this record's coming out on Missing Peace Records.
Yeah.
I didn't realize
they had a label.
I've dealt with their publicity department for a while now doing the show, but I just, it was through your record that I was like, oh, I didn't even realize they had a label.
Yeah, they don't do it for everybody. They've become like family to me, so they're really good. They do a lot of label services, kind of hodgepodge, and every once in a while they throw it all together for somebody, and they've done that for me. This is my second record with them. So they did press on a record in 2015 for me, and then got to know them really well. They've just taken care of me ever since.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about this record. I have some favorite songs. I wrote them down. All I Got, which I think is a great song. Let's Go Crazy. This Town, Keep Your Head Up, and In a Certain Light. Who sang harmony on In a Certain Light?
I think that's Natalie Schwab doing that on there. I think that's right. It gets all mixed up in the studio. She's fantastic. She's been singing with me since she was like a little girl. She was I was real good friends with her brothers, and in 2004 we made a record together. And then so she's just always been kind of hanging around with me as I learned to write songs. And I was hanging around with her brothers, and she just knew all my songs and these demos, and would come up with harmonies. And when we were around, she'd sing on them. And so it was just a natural progression to take her in the studio. And then I worked with her on an EP. She sang on Flatlands. She didn't sing on The Last American, but she sang on this new one too. So she's on 90% of the songs that I put out.
That's awesome.
She's great.
So when you tour now, are you touring, you just tour solo?
Yeah, for now.
Yeah.
It's like a rebuild phase between, you know, it's like it's been a while since put out a record, and then you get, you know, COVID and all that. So it's just like starting over, but also like it might have been that way even if I was selling out arenas, which I'm not. But if I was, it's still kind of in my heart to do singer-songwriter stuff. And so I love playing, you know, just solo and traveling. It keeps it simple, keeps the paychecks fatter.
Yeah.
You don't got to split them up. I mean, you can get weird and sleep on a couch if you need to that way. It's no big deal.
Yeah. And you have a family, right?
Yeah, I've got four daughters.
Wow.
Wonderful wife. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what, like, Certain Light. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say, that's what Certain Light kind of was born out of, was sitting around the house. We had to come off the road or whatever, the pandemic, and so sitting around the house. I don't really like write a lot of direct love songs, but I'm sitting around the house for a very long time with my wife, and it just kind of spilled out, Certain Light did. So it's kind of my only, like, I think they're all love songs, but I think it's the one that's most recognizable as a love song.
Yeah.
Whatever a love song is.
Yeah. So you wrote these songs during the pandemic?
Well, I finished them. Some of them, like Let's Go Crazy, I saw the voice memo the other day, and it was the original thought for that was like in 2016. So I probably have five or 10,000 voice memos on my phone. I don't know how many. I mean, too many. And they just live there, and I let them flesh out. And you know, the Let's Go Crazy, in fact, has had three or four different endings, and I've recorded it a couple of times, but didn't feel like I'd hit it yet. And then some point over the last year or two, it just came together. I redid the ending, and sorry, my phone's making all kinds of noises for you, probably.
I can't hear it.
There you go. Cool. So it's hard to say when things get written or when they don't. Like, an idea will come up, and then a year later you work on it, and 6 months later, or sometimes the thing comes out all at once. But some of them were written over the last year, and since, you know, before cutting the record, and some of them have been around for 5 years, you know.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. Oh, like most records, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think so. What I see these guys, and they're like, I'm going to write a record, and they'll go on a retreat and write a record and then go record the record. And I don't know if that's true, if they're really doing that, or if that's just a way to market, you know, and then get everybody, here's the pre-order before I even wrote the songs, and they're selling records before they're writing songs. And that's probably a smart way to do it, but it just seems distracting to me.
Well, there used to be a time like in the 80s when people had like these massive budgets. There were bands like Roxy Music that would, you know, by the time they were doing like Avalon, they would go to like Compass Point and Nassau in the Bahamas for like 4 months and write and record a record.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah,
if you
want wouldn't
to cut the check, yeah, I'll, yeah, do it that way.
There's no real. You did this record pretty fast, huh?
Yeah, so I was kind of getting antsy during the, you know, the beginning of the pandemic, and I was writing a lot and thinking a lot, and then I called Nilsson up, and I was just pacing on in the driveway on my phone. I was like, let's cut a record, let's go. And he said, let's do it. And so we jumped in the studio. I think it was 3.5-4 days, something like that. We did the whole thing, and big deal, just knock it out.
How did you guys, like, how did you do that? Did you guys record it live, like, together, playing together, the band?
Some of it was that way, and then some of it was, like, the band would go out and get a coffee or a cigarette, and I'd cut a few songs, and then they'd come back in and play on top of them. So it was just both. And then that's kind of been the way all my records have been, the last three. Like, some of it was done live, and some of it was just tracked kind of more intimately with just me, and then let these guys loose on it. But everybody was kind of like, even the stuff they came in and laid stuff on top of, there wasn't a lot of, like, go back and, you know, add 15 layers of guitars or anything.
Right, right.
Like, what's your thought? And chase the first thought down, usually.
So you got guys you trusted, and you trusted what they did, and you just go in there, and they're there because you want them.
That was a conversation. Yeah, that's it. It was like, and they're all friends of mine, and they're guys I trust, and that was the conversation with Nilsson. Was just like, I want it to be very personal. I want it to be, you know, they're really personal songs, and I was in, you know, like everybody was. I felt very exposed and vulnerable and raw, and I wanted to capture that and not be surrounded by, you know, hired guns that I didn't know. I wanted my buddies in there so that, you know, I could feel free to dig into my own feelings or whatever and get a little weird and, and just chase it. But those are all, everybody was on those records. It's like I'd go have a beer with them and hang out and do whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You covered this Nine Inch Nails song, Head Like a Hole, with, Aubrey Sellers. Who is that? Who is? Why do I know that name?
She's amazing.
Yeah.
She's not famous. Her mom is famous. She is famous. She is, she's not necessarily famous. She should be. Her mom's Leanne Womack, and that's how a lot of people know who she is.
Oh, okay.
But she's been real cool to not try to ride that into what, you know, what she could and stand up on her own legs, and she's incredible. And not just as a singer, but like as a performer, and also like as a producer, she had a lot of input on what the song should sound like and influenced it a lot. And we did that all remotely. She was living in LA at the time, and Ethan Ballinger, who also produced it, was living in LA, and then Megan McCormick was in Nashville, but we were just flying tracks around and getting on the phone and saying, I like this, I don't like that, let's just keep going and letting it flesh out.
Yeah. What made you do that song in particular? Did you grow up as like a Nine Inch Nails guy?
Man, I was scared of Nine Inch Nails when I was like pretty young. My brother brought it in the house, was like, you know, your head like a whole black kid. I thought it was satanic. I was like, I'm out, you know. and then I grew up. You know, I think I had that feeling like early in the pandemic that telling everybody what to do. And it's like, maybe it wasn't like I was having these conscious thoughts of like, screw these guys. But probably like somewhere underneath, you know, I started giving me fist in the air and feeling. I was sitting around trying to write songs, and that song just kept coming up over and over and over. So I'd be writing my own song, and then I'd start singing Nine Inch Nails, all country like, and it just felt good. And I sent it to Ethan. I was like, "This is stupid, right?" And he was like, "No, let's do it." And so we just started, and now it's like, you know, it feels appropriate in these times,
right? Right. Yeah.
Unless you feel the exact opposite. Some people feel the exact opposite, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it's very, it's a weird time to like, it must be a weird time to raise kids, man.
Oh, it just depends on what you think, you know, what you're doing. Like, we homeschool and now we live in the Texas Panhandle. It's not weird at all, you know? But if you're, you know, if you're living in New York, maybe it's a little tighter, but we got all that space to roam free and, you know, not really. The way our life is designed, it's impacted me a lot. If you're homeschooling, like my kids, I've obviously noticed the change in the world, but they're not directly affected by it day to day. And there's four of them, so even when we couldn't go hang out with friends there for a bit,
they got each other.
We had enough love at the house. Yeah, we're just kicking it. They get along well, and we had a big backyard. So, and we got a dog to make it through, you know, like everybody else.
Yeah.
So that helped.
What kind of dog?
You know, we got an Australian Shepherd from some farmer. He just happened to have a couple dogs we got together, and he's trying to get rid of them. So we got a hold of one, and she's a little weirdo. She's cool. You know, Australian Shepherds are feisty, but she's really laid back. She's deaf because, you know, but she's a little nutty. She's been real sweet.
That's good.
And it's another girl. I tried to get a boy and they wouldn't let me do it. So, yeah. Maybe when I retire, I'll get my own dog.
Yeah. Are you doing like a release show down in Key West?
Well, there's this big festival. I am playing on my, you know, on the 28th when this comes out. So, that'll be a release show, but it's just part of the larger festival. So, right. You know, we're working on some things in the books. Like the calendar is, there's a whole lot of contingency in the calendar, and that's how COVID's affected everything. You know, you think you got a lot of stuff lined up and then it goes away and you got to start over, but
right.
It weeds out the weak ones, you know, that's okay. Can't hang, don't hang.
Yeah. I mean,
keep going forward. So,
no, I'm a musician too.
We'll put together some shows like an Amarillo.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say I'm a musician too. And there've been, obviously there've been cancellations. I just had a thing that there was this corporate thing I was going to do and it just got canceled a couple days ago or moved to another date or whatever that means. But yeah, that's a tough.
You just take it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it must be tough for you, like going down all the way to Key West and then you're going to tour your way back to Texas, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go ride in Nashville with a couple of my buddies or start working on another record, really. See what comes of that.
Oh, cool.
I'll hang out for a few days. But it's weird. It's weird. I've lost in the last year, I've lost more money than I made sometimes as far as cancellation.
Yeah.
You know? So it's strange, but it is what it is. You know, you just keep your life small and save what you can and just keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, dude, this has been really good talking to you, man. We should do this again, like maybe sometime when you come to Austin. I saw you played at the Hole in the Wall sometime recently.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Fun place, isn't it?
Yeah, totally, man. I've been playing there forever.
I'll be back through Austin. I should be in Texas quite a bit more now. That's the idea. Is that I have the direct access to that market. I don't have to travel 1,000 miles to get going. it's 6 hours to Dallas or something, but that's like 6 hours is nothing at this point.
I guess so.
Do that the day of the show and let it ride.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, let's do it. Let's talk more.
Yeah, your record, Run Like a Bull, by the time this comes out, the record will be out and people can get it. But yeah, dude, it's been great talking to you.
Thanks. Good luck to you. Nice to meet you.
Have fun in Key West.
Oh, I'm going to come back all tan. I'll see you when I'm tan.
All right, man. Talk to you later, buddy.
All right, be safe.
You too.
Take care.
I hang down like those rock mountain skies in the valley.
That's Ryan Colwell. Check out his album, Run Like a Bull, available now wherever you stream and download your jams on Missing Piece Records. Great, great talking to him. I look forward to a longer conversation with him. What a great guy. And hey, gang, don't forget, man, check out Natalie Price at natpricemusic.com. Go check out the ATX Gen Next Adventures in Person Austin Music Foundation album at austinmusicfoundation.bandcamp.com. Go there. Do it. You gotta do it. All right? Do it all, man. There's a lot of stuff to check out. All right, I'll have 3 shows for you next week. Sorry about the one show this week. Sorry, guys. Sorry. Have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Happy Valentine's Day. Let's get down.
In the valley, why do I go? Dreaming on the mountains I should climb. Lift your eyes up to the hills. Pray the Lord your soul to keep. So afraid he never will. Born astray just at reach. Oh, 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 come and find me. I get blue like Colorado. I hang down like those Rocky Mountain skies. In the valley, oh, why do I? Dreaming on the mountains I should climb. Dreaming on the mountains I should climb.